And we'd like to call to order our next public hearing on Critical Areas Preservation Code update. Again, this public hearing also is being recorded. Please speak clearly into the microphone, state your name, address, affiliation. Staff will provide a brief presentation, then I'll call for oral testimony based on the sign-up sheets that are in the back of the room. Each person will be limited to 5 minutes. Testimony should be brief, and it's not necessary to repeat testimony previously given by others. After the oral testimony, the public hearing record will remain open to accept comments until Friday, September 30th at 5 p.m. And the Planning Commission will consider all oral and written testimony at subsequent meetings and forward a recommendation to the City Council, after which the City Council may conduct a study session and will hold a public meeting and make a decision thereafter. And with that, I'd like to call on staff for a presentation. Carla?
Good evening, Chair Doty and Commission members. I'm Carla Kluge with the Building and Land Use Services Division. This is the public hearing for the amendments currently proposed on the Critical Areas Preservation Code. By way of background, the Critical Areas Preservation Code was designed to protect and preserve critical areas within the city through regulations that have traditionally focused on ensuring that new development is done in an environmentally sound manner. The regulations are also designed to provide protection from critical areas such as geologically hazardous areas or floodplains. However, the Critical Area Preservation Code does not currently contain code provisions for voluntary activities such as enhancement and restoration of natural vegetated areas. Voluntary restoration and enhancement has become a focus of Tacoma citizens. Over the last few years, Tacoma citizens have had a growing interest in voluntary enhancement and the restoration of public open space areas, and they have joined into community groups willing to perform this work. The city has also pursued the greening of Tacoma and participates with Cascade Land Conservancy Green Tacoma Partnership Program that provides training and support for these stewards who work with the volunteers to help them achieve their restoration goals. This amendment process was initiated at this time to support and promote the stewardship activity by developing code provisions that streamline permit processes to allow work to move forward in a timely manner. In addition, since the last formal update of the code, staff has kept track of other minor items within the code that needed to be updated to better facilitate effective permitting, and those changes are also part of this amendment. The proposed amendment of the Critical Area Code includes the creation of new processes for voluntary restoration and enhancement, and the simplification of permitting for minor projects where compensatory mitigation is not required. It also includes simplification of our wetland buffer determination methods and the inclusion of additional wetland mitigation options, including mitigation banks and in-lieu fee programs as these become available. General reordering and cleanup of the code is also proposed to eliminate duplicity and unnecessary complexities within the code. A public outreach process was initiated that included forming a focus group of interested parties and discussing the major topics of voluntary restoration, small development projects, wetland buffer determination methods, and mitigation options. The focus group consisted of approximately a dozen or so individuals representing various interests in development, environmental restoration and preservation, parks and roads. The focus group met 5 times to complete the discussion on these focus topics. Staff also queried wetland consultants that had worked in the city over many years to request suggestions on how to improve the current code. And staff met with other city staff from various departments and divisions to discuss the proposed changes, any code conflicts, or gain suggestions that they had to improve or clarify the code. A public review document consisting of the public notice for the Planning Commission's public hearing, the staff report, the underline and strike-through version of the proposed amendment, SEPA checklist, and preliminary DNS was mailed to individuals including the Neighborhood Council board members, neighborhood groups, business district associations, civic organizations, environmental groups, development interests, adjacent jurisdictions, the Puyallup Tribal Nation, major employers and institutions, city and state departments, and other known interested individuals or groups. In addition, the public notice could also be viewed and downloaded at the Planning Division's website. The public notice was also posted on the public information bulletin boards on the first and second floors of the Tacoma Municipal Building. Advertisement of the public hearing was advertised in the News Tribune, and the SEPA determination was published in the Daily Index. A paper copy of the public review document was supplied to the Joint Base Lewis-McChord and to all the libraries. The notice stated the time and place of the hearing, the purpose of the public hearing, information pertaining to the environmental determination, where and how additional information could be obtained, and how to provide comments. The public review document was also emailed to all members of the focus group. The comments that we've received up to this point regarding critical areas. The city's legal department has advised that the code was reviewed for takings and found no concerns at this time. On the SEPA checklist, I have not received any comments to date. On the proposed draft critical area amendments, I have received a few comments. Metro Parks requested a meeting to clarify some of the code provisions, and other city staff and I attended that meeting. Metro Parks was generally supportive. However, they and Mr. Barnett, who oversees the Open Space for Community Economic Development Department, requested clarification on the programmatic permit timelines. And there was a concern that 5 years plus 5 years renewal may not be long enough to accomplish the goals of a long-term habitat management plan. Metro Parks also commented that wetland delineations are a very costly submittal requirement and wanted clarification on how the requirement will be applied during the programmatic permit process. There was also discussion on trail construction and maintenance provisions and how those would be applied under the proposed code. I've also received some questions from the Department of Ecology requesting clarification on how we determined our new buffer distances, and that information has been provided to the Department of Ecology, and I expect written comments from them. If there are no other comments at this time, staff recommends that the Planning Commission proceed with the testimony, take comments, and keep the record open until Friday, September 3rd, 2011.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the Commission? Great. I'd like to call Jim Godoy.
Good morning.
Thank you. And after Jim, Joe Brady.
Thank you, Commission. I'm Jim Bedoin. I'm the Executive Director for Peachy Creek Restoration Society. Been on the job about 6 months now, so it's the first time you're seeing me here. And hopefully we can be a little succinct in some of the recommendations we have for you to consider with the CAPO as presented. Puget Creek Restoration Society protects and enhances and restores the Puget Creek watershed and similar streams, wetlands, and green spaces. We serve the South Puget Sound communities and invite their participation through hands-on restoration, research, education, advocacy, and by promoting a sense of stewardship. Our organization represents over 3,000 members and volunteers located in the city of Tacoma, Pierce County, who are deeply concerned with wetland, stream, green space, and nearshore issues in the city. We thank you again for allowing us to provide input into the CAPO revisions. We request the following conditions be incorporated into the project. Section B, number 6B, we suggest an expanded definition as to what is considered a non-native plant that can be removed under the following two criteria of the allowed activities and activities allowed with staff review. We would encourage the following non-native, very invasive plants be allowed to be removed through this process: the Himalayan and evergreen blackberry, English ivy and clematis, English holly and laurel, Japanese knotweed, Scots broom, reed canary grass, herb robert, spurge laurel, poison hemlock, English morning glory, and bindweed. Puget Creek Restoration Society feels that the buffer averaging and buffer reduction should still have the full review process. Buffers are just that, they're buffering, protecting the critical areas. The buffer established by the code are what we feel are bare minimum of what is really needed, and since any impacts to the buffers will impact the critical area, the requisite for a full process to ensure that decreasing the buffer will not adversely harm the critical area is needed. We are not in favor of the in-lieu fee for mitigation of impacts. We base this on the fact that what the city has determined as a square foot valuation of the critical area impacted does not equate to or what the value is if the city were to use those funds generated to purchase a wetland of the same type. In short, there's a need to get in place a valuation in the in-lieu fee process that would equate to equal for equal monies. Any mitigation banking in an area needs to be directly applied to the watershed that impacts were generated in. They should not be allowed to be applied to another watershed area. It should also happen within the city of Tacoma, as that is where the impacts were generated. The wildlife need to have resource areas close to their impacted habitat in consideration for our impacting upon them. Utility projects in the city of Tacoma need to understand and have requirements in place to direct them to use best practices as to affecting the least damage to the habitat when they proceed with a project. Even though we understand that sometimes that costs more, it needs to be done to avoid and have avoidable damage held to a minimum. There needs to be in place in the process that includes public comment, and that when an area has a steward or organization that has been working in that critical area, they should be involved in the discussion as to what will have direct impact in that critical area. There needs to have in place in the code that when city project managers say they will incorporate comments and alternatives on how their project is done, that they actually get to follow through on some of those stated arrangements. In page 7 of the CAPO update, the second blue highlighted area, we feel an assessment permit should be required so that to allow for public input, and more information from that input can be brought to the attention of the reviewers. In section 13.11.20440, we believe that a list developed and added into this section depicting the allowed activity types would help in assessing the activities by the reviewing staff person to know if they can or cannot do it. So just simply trying to make it easier for folks in reviewing the requests. Only allowing work to get done on slopes that are less than a 15% grade will not get restoration done and will allow further degradation of habitat because the invasive plants are on all slopes of all gradients. They don't know the difference. We feel qualified experts and organizations who have successfully for many years with no injuries need to be approached and a system put in place so that with proper training, they may have the right to work on all slopes. Puget Creek Restoration Society is such an organization and would be very willing to help establish an acceptable training and protocol for this type of work. We feel limiting the size to 1,000 square feet or less will limit the ability of restoration efforts when the ivy has taken over such large areas. Language should be incorporated that if the area isn't replanted, then the sites need to stay less than 1,000 square feet. But if these sites are being replanted, that they can be expanded in order to actually more completely restore, move towards completely restoring the habitat. In 13.11.210-B, number 3, we feel that this needs to be removed from the code, as we feel all wetlands, no matter what size or category of need, need to be protected under the same critical area standards. That's all I have at the moment. We have a couple others that we'll have in our written response by Friday.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, can I just ask a clarifying question?
Oh, absolutely.
Your written comments are going to include those, that your testimony there. Could you include that in the submission?
I can.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Great. Thank you very much.
Joe Brady?
Chair Doty, members of the Planning Commission, thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Joe Brady. I'm the Natural Resources Manager for the Metropolitan Park District of Tacoma. This is a brand new division that was created at the beginning of this year to help manage the open spaces and green spaces throughout Tacoma. It adds up to about 2,000 acres across the city. We're going to be a very, very large consumer of this code, and I'm very happy to be here today to help work with staff and work with you folks to be able to make this a usable code that really represents an opportunity to move forward throughout the city. Since 2008, Metro Parks volunteers have given approximately 60,000 hours of time to help maintain, restore, and reclaim natural areas and open spaces throughout Tacoma. This equates to $1.2 million of manpower equivalent, or 30 full-time maintenance workers for Metro Parks. Currently this year, it's an escalating trend. We're already at about 18,000 hours of volunteer work and are probably on track to get to probably 30,000 hours just this year alone. It's a burgeoning need across the city for the jurisdictions that own and the landowners that own these natural areas to be able to restore them. And the only real effective way to do it and the cost-effective way to do it is using volunteer labor. And it's a dwindling resource. If we can't respond and be respectful of that volunteer, then we lose them. So it's very important for us to be able to remove regulatory boundaries that aren't practical for them. That being said, Metro Parks deeply appreciates the city's efforts with the capital update. It represents a real positive change. It removes a lot of the it's instilling a proactive and practical approach to being able to deal with critical areas restoration throughout the city, and it's also it's a simplification of the rules and for using folks that don't deal with code on a regular basis get rapidly confused by it. Even us that actually live in the middle of the code, we even get tired of it. Just imagine yourself if you're a volunteer and have to be responsible to try to understand, okay, I just want to donate my time. How am I supposed to understand exactly where I live inside this document? But I appreciate it. Carly, you're the best. So one of the comments that I have is in the realm of the programmatic permit. The programmatic permit is in response to a large chunk of natural area or open space where we're trying to engage a natural resource management plan over the lifespan of 5, 10, 15, 20, whatever years. It's really designed for, and its intent is for, the voluntary restoration projects. At this time, the way it's written, it's not very clear in terms of the cost of what's up in front. And I'll offer an example of the Swan Creek natural area, the Swan Creek Park over on Tacoma's east side. If I was to write a natural resource management plan for that 385 acres, would I, in the programmatic permit, have to get all of that critical area delineated ahead of time? So that basically my only buy-off is that if I wanted to install a restroom facility at some point in the future, that I would be able to count my mitigation acres that my volunteers are restoring along the way, just is it for purposes of advanced mitigation and that's it? That's an unclarity, and I hope that we're able to work with the Planning Commission through that programmatic permit, because I think as it's currently written, it won't be a tool that I'll actually use. I think the area where I will be working with is with Misty and with Carla in doing the activities allowed with staff review. That seems a much more practical place for me to be. But that being said, with the open space management team process that we have here at the City of Tacoma, where the different jurisdictions get together and work through the development and filling out of a template management plan, it really works, and it's a system that I think we ought to be able to really applaud, because it gets the staff and the different jurisdictions and the volunteers on the same page ahead of time. It gets all those critical answered ahead of time. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. And Brian, do we have any more sign-ups in the back? Okay, I don't see any more sign-ups. Is there anyone else who would like to come forward and give testimony? Please do. Give us your name and address, affiliation.
Hi, my name's Corey Kramer. I'm with the Cascade Land Conservancy. I'm the South Sound Green Cities Project Manager with Cascade Land Conservancy. And we're one of the key partners of the Green Tacoma Partnership. I would like to echo Joe's thanks and appreciation to the Planning Commission and the city for considering changes to the CAPO ordinance that really take into account volunteers' needs. Our main thing that we work on with the partnership is community engagement and really engaging volunteers. So I think that we would like to applaud the city for implementing and simplifying the allowed activities and the activities allowed with staff review sections. We did have some questions regarding the limits of 1,000 square feet in that in the allowed activities with staff review, but I think in a meeting that we had with Carla earlier, we've clarified those, and we're okay with that 1,000 square foot restriction. However, I would like to comment that it's still unclear to us after reviewing the code how the programmatic permit section really affects and really applies to our level of voluntary restoration with our volunteers. It seems to me that the programmatic permit has to do more with actual development projects, and we'll be requesting some clarification from Carla and the city regarding that. Those are the succinct comments that we have at this point, and we'll also be summarizing our statements and submitting them in written form by September 30th.
Great.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to come forward and give their testimony? Okay.
Would you like me to wait to close the public hearing?
It doesn't matter. Regarding one of the folks who testified,
sure.
As we asked the previous gentleman before Metro Parks, if your concerns on the programmatic permit language, if you get a letter to Carla or to us outlining the area of concern or how it would be better written to address the concerns, because you bring up an interesting point about the, you know, if you're constructing a 250 square foot, 300 bathroom on a huge park, to what scale of delineation upfront work would be required to get to that point. So anything in writing would be great.
Sure. I'll make sure to do that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Cool.
Wait, September 30th, is that it?
Yeah, 30. So Friday, September 30th, please. And with that, we'll close the public hearing.